I'm Mark Simpson, and this is Intersection. Republicans rolled out a successful GOP convention in Tampa last week. What kind of bump did they get for it? We'll ask 90.7's political commentators, Democrat Dick Batchelor and Republican Lou Fry. Plus, we'll get their assessment on the matchups coming out of the August primaries. Webster versus Demings, Grayson versus Long, and the lowdown on the crucial months ahead for Mitt Romney and President Barack Obama. That's ahead on Intersection. And I'm happy to welcome back former Democratic State House Representative Dick Batchelor, now heading the Dick Batchelor Management Group. Great to have you in, sir.
Thank you. Good to be back.
And also we're joined by favorite foil, former Republican Congressman Lou Fry, now attorney with Lowndes, Drostek, Doster, Cantor, and Reed. Lou, good to have you in.
Incredible convention.
Did you say he was a former foil or a favorite foil?
A favorite foil.
A favorite foil.
A favorite foil.
Favorite foil of what?
But like
Dick Batchelor.
But not in foil as in tinfoil hats like Tea Party members. Not that one.
I'm decaffeinated tea, as you would say. All right, let's talk about the convention.
Well, I can tell what's on your mind.
Yeah.
What was your take on the way things rolled out? Tell me, Lou Fry, especially given that things looked like they went off without a hitch. You had potentially dangerous weather out there, a lot of visitors coming in for unfamiliar with tropical weather. So talk to me first, before we get into the politics, about the planning from state officials, RNC officials,
incredible,
and Tampa.
Everybody actually looked like they knew what they're doing, and they did it well. And New Orleans obviously learned in the time in between Katrina. There was terrible damage in that, but very little loss of life with it, and everybody deserves a big pat in the back. The Democrat mayor over there, it's not a political thing. It's something that was a pleasure to watch.
Bob Buckhorn, the mayor, and all that whole group, the host committee, deserves a lot of credit. I mean, to be able to pull it off in the face of a storm, a threatening storm, and then
changing
the whole schedule. So I think they pulled out. As far as the mechanics, the way it orchestrated, the content I'll talk about later, but they orchestrated it, they deserved all the accolades.
So, Lou Fry, during the Republican convention, a lot of focus on the economy, reaching out to women and Hispanics. Yeah. How well did that message get across?
I think this is the first convention I've been to that is going to make a significant difference in the election. As a matter of fact, it was like a puzzle with all pieces all around, and they put it together, and it really came out well. There's very little you could look back and say you'd really want to change. I think you're going to see a big bump, Dick, from this way this was handled. And that bump is going to be a serious problem to Obama. They're nervous.
Now, talk to me about why you're extrapolating this.
Why am I extrapolating
The nervousness. You're saying there's a connection with Clint Eastwood, who made this address
because
to the empty chair.
The Obama people replied to it. You're the president. You don't reply to some guy who's a movie actor having an empty chair in that.
This is the tweet that came out
the
from the White House.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Dick Batchelor would not have let that happen. You ignore it. It goes away.
You've
given the story legs. You know, the Fry rule, read the book. If you got to explain, you're in trouble.
Yep.
Right. But anyway, this all went together well. The people spoke well. The speech by Mrs. Romney was one of the better speeches I think I've ever heard at a convention ever. And Romney did a great job. Marco Rubio, Condoleezza Rice, the governor of New Mexico, showing all these women, Republican governors around the country. I was absolutely pleased.
Talk to me about Mitt Romney. Did he come across more likable, more approachable, which was what they were trying to do in the messaging?
Yeah, I think definitely he did. He relaxed. He talked about the things. He's really done a lot for people in the past. He's becoming more comfortable with what he'll never be. You know, he'll never be a Charlie Crist. Walking, knowing everybody in the thing in politics, and for other reasons, he won't be a Charlie. But I just think that this was as well orchestrated as the response to the hurricane.
All right, Dick Batchelor. So, what's your assessment? Is what Lou Fry is saying correct? You're seeing the president acknowledging Clint Eastwood's speech, not even someone who's running for office, and also Republicans trying to reach out to women and Hispanics. Does this put Democrats in a tight spot?
I don't think so. First of all, on Clint Eastwood, I like Clint Eastwood. I felt badly for him as he stumbled through that presentation. And remember the movie The Good, Bad, and the Ugly? Well, this is kind of like The Ugly. It was really unfortunate. I think. On the as far as the way the campaign was orchestrated, good content. The problem is there are contradictions. You've got to get specific with the public. You can't keep saying, I've got a five-year plan, I'm going to employ 20 million people. How are you going to do that? So I think the specifics are going to be the devil in the details with the Republicans and the contradictions. Paul Ryan, and we don't have time now, I can tell you five cases where he was at best flirting with the truth. He was not telling the truth about Barack Obama's record. And now the fact checkers will point that out. But the fact is, now the Romney campaign says we're not going to let our campaign strategy be dictated by the facts or by fact checkers. So it's going to be a knockdown drag from here on out. But I think getting the message clear and getting more specific is their burden.
What do you think, though, in terms of reaching those key demographics now being targeted, women and Hispanics, by Republicans and Democrats? Is this trouble for Democrats in Florida, where they're also trying to reach that important area?
I don't think so. Keep in mind, this convention was very thematic. Repeat it. It was a mantra, and I know, and they made a good effort at the 50,000-foot level. But when you get down to the issues that involve women, look, Hispanics are going to. I think Barack Obama is leading Romney by at least 35 to 40% on the Hispanic vote. He's leading probably about 15% on the women's vote. So, but you've got to get the women's vote with the issues. I don't think a thematic approach to this gets the women. You've got to be able to say, these are the issues important to me. This is my solution to those issues.
The real question is going to come down to is, as was used before, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? And where is the leadership coming? Is it coming from the front or is it coming from the rear?
Mm. Lou Frey, do you think in terms of trying to attract more support from women, putting Ann Romney out there, do you think it swayed any people who might have been on the edge, not sure if they were going to go in support of the Romney ticket? Because going into this, the image was, as Ann Romney acknowledged in her speeches, that she had lived this fairy tale marriage life
with
Mitt Romney
and whatnot.
She kind of shot that down.
Yeah, I think she did, and I think that was the purpose. And I think what he did, and by the way, what he did in his religious part of his life and helping people and responding to people in need and that, is an important thing. I'm glad that he finally has talked about some of those things that he's done. He is a decent person. I think, personally, and I have been very, up till now, I didn't think there was much of a chance, and it's really fallen together. And when you look at Romney and his credentials, he's really somebody who's sort of designed for this position. It's an economic election. It's about jobs. It's about jobs. It's about the debt. And whoever can respond, whoever the public thinks, whether man, woman, white, Hispanic, blue, pink, doesn't make any difference, whoever the public thinks can handle that best is going to be the one that wins. And
a lot of discussion about bringing more diversity into the Republican Party, and certainly Marco Rubio was among several Hispanic speakers at the RNC, also Nevada's Governor Brian Sandoval, Texas Senate candidate Ted Cruz, among others.
And the couple governors who are women?
A couple of women governors, Susana Martinez from New Mexico. So does this, Lou Frey, mean that the Republican Party is more diverse than public perception show, or is this?
Well, I don't know what public perception shows or not. I just know that in my time in the leadership in the Republican Party, is one of the things we reached out to was young people and people of any kind of race or creed or color. It was not I thought the tent was always big. Dick Batchelor talks about that, too, about needing a big tent. I think Republicans have sort of moved that tent out a little bit, and it's going that way. And when you look at the people who are elected as Republicans, I'm surprised. I mean, I should have known in that, but putting them all there together in that, the Hispanics may be, maybe getting ignored, but they're sure winning as Republicans around the country.
What do you think, Dick Batchelor? Is there a Democratic response?
Well, let me go back to the thesis here again. While I can certainly admire people like Marco Rubio, former United States Senator Mel Martinez and all, but the fact is you've got to go back and say, what are you telling me, though? You want to get a message to me. You want to recruit me. Go back to their platform. I know that Lou would say you run from the platform. You don't run on the platform. But the platform committee,
You agree with me.
They don't even believe in the DREAM Act. They don't even believe in the DREAM Act, where people who are here at an early age, a young age, can be here for a number of years. They can go to get a college degree, or they can join the military, and then you can become a citizen, pass the citizenship. They don't even believe in that in the platform.
You say they believe in it. You're
the
talking
platform committee.
Republicans, about the platform
the Republicans
committee.
Republicans adopted a platform committee that is anti-DREAM Act.
Do you want to dig out your platforms when
no,
you're
gosh,
there?
No, gosh, no, I don't want to do that.
But let me, neither do
I. I want to switch gears because you're talking about Ann Romney, and I think Ann Romney did what she needed to do. Is the wife to say, look at my husband, take another look. He's the kind of guy he is. two things were obvious. Well, one thing obvious was that they never mentioned Mormon. But interesting enough, but Mike Huckabee, who's the evangelical Baptist, of course, is endorsing him big time, saying, you know, our religions don't really matter, which he's raised the issue, the only time it was been raised. But last on Romney and the Romney family, next we have the Democratic Convention. And you can say a lot of things about Barack Obama and Michelle and the kids, but you have to say they're a good, strong, sturdy family. So you're going to see some of that, too.
And the Republicans, thank goodness, didn't bash him. I was really pleased to see that there was no Obama bashing. And when he was talked about with respect. Everybody rooted for him. I rooted for him. I wrote a column and said this could be one of the greatest things that's happened in this country.
But he didn't write a check.
And, yeah.
He didn't write a check.
So...
You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 News. I'm Mark Simpson. We're talking politics, follow-up from the RNC with commentators Democrat Dick Batchelor and Republican Lou Fry. You can follow the conversation online at WMFE's Facebook and Twitter pages. Find us at WMFE Orlando on Twitter. Emails send to intersection@WMFE.org. I want to get into the impact on some of the state officials who were appearing at the RNC. We saw a lot of Florida elected officials. We already mentioned Marco Rubio. There was Lieutenant Governor Jennifer Carroll, Attorney General Pam Bondi, and eventually Governor Scott on the last day. So what does their appearance mean for them as political individuals and as the state GOP, Lou Fry?
Well, what it means is they all want to run for another office. You've seen the governor's campaign already out there and who's going to be in it and everything. And that's basically why you appear at it, why you talk at a convention. It's great to help the party out, but you're there, you have your own idea, and all the people that are working with you and that are saying, hey, this is what you want to talk about, and you want to look gubernatorial or you want to look senatorial or whatever it is. And the Republicans, and this is borrowing a line from Dick, but the Republicans have a deep bench, the deepest bench we've ever had. The Democrats really don't have
a bench.
A bench at all. So,
or anyone on the bench.
Yeah, so what that says, basically, at least in actually around the country and in Florida, Republicans are in pretty good shape for the future. And when you look at the people coming, it is diversity. You know, it's a Hispanic, it's a woman. It's not the old, you know, 50-year-old white male who doesn't get it.
Well, where do you think, Dick Batchelor, does the Republican National Convention leave Governor Scott looking forward politically? He was supposed to be featured much earlier in the convention, sure. Of course, dealing with tropical weather, went off and carried out his responsibilities of governor, but still managed to squeeze in an appearance at the RNC.
Him being squeezed at the last minute after the way he handled the preparation for the hurricane gave him a lot of leverage he didn't have. Had he gone there and just given a speech, let's admit, he cannot give a speech. And there's no passion and no oratory skills. But the fact that he was out there on the front lines, you know, for the first 4 days dealing with the hurricane issues, by the time he got to the convention, I think he had political currency he didn't otherwise have. Now, here's talking about the future of politics. Here's a situation. Pam Bondi, a lot of exposure, a lot of coverage. If Mitt Romney is elected, will she be like assistant attorney general, recruited for that? If he's not elected, will she run for governor? That's going to be an interesting thing to watch. A lot of people had a chance to be on that stage. They got under the ether, the spotlights. They love it. It's raw politics, and those decisions could be made.
And it doesn't come to your state. Florida gets it more than most people, but this convention and opportunity doesn't come to the state, and it probably won't be here for another 10 or 12 years. So if you're thinking of running statewide and using this as a place to jump off from, you better follow up from the convention quickly and with a lot of press.
Do you think, Lou Fry, Pam Bondi would trounce Governor Scott in a primary fight?
Who knows? It's so far away, I would never say anybody would get trounced.
Couldn't you just do it for us?
Yeah.
You know, Lou and I had a quick conversation that we talked about the other day. There was always leading up to who was the mystery speaker going to be at the convention. And Lou and I were talking about it, and we were saying it should have been Barbara Bush.
That was Dick's idea. That would have been a great choice.
Because she could be there representing Bush 41, Bush 43, not being political. And her son, Jeb Bush, who is there, who's a rock star at this convention in his own right. But it didn't happen. We were wrong. I was wrong.
We were wrong. Well, I thought they might have even the president, President Bush the Younger, come and pass through.
So who ended up being the surprise speaker? Was there a surprise speaker?
Oh, sure. Clint Eastwood.
Clint oh, Clint. Eastwood. Sorry. Okay.
How could you forget?
Sorry. Well, I didn't.
Shame on you.
Well, this is the thing. It wasn't a surprise because everyone was saying Clint Eastwood's going to speak.
You just make my day.
I wasn't surprised.
Actually, the surprise guest was the guy who
play like you were and make us feel better.
Whoever the guy was sitting in the empty chair was a surprise guest. They were like
that,
a,
now
we're
going to
put
empty
an empty chair,
chair
there
surprise.
With you. You better be careful when you come in here next time.
Charlie McCarthy routine.
Anyway, you brought it up, Dick Batchelor. Before I could get to it, Governor Jeb Bush, very much still held in high esteem by Republicans nationally and statewide. But Lou Frey, did they need to have Jeb Bush there?
Yeah.
They couldn't
sure,
have done it without him.
Oh, I don't know.
Or it wouldn't have looked as good.
Lisa Ray, he should have been there. He is one of the most powerful Republicans in the country. He's out there in the education issue working on that. You have to have him. And by the way, when you get him, you also get, by implication, Barbara Bush. You get the president the elder. You get the president the younger. He defended his brother on that, which was a fine thing to do, and he talked about it.
Dick Batchelor, does Jeb's appearance mean he's still thinking keeping options open 2016 potentially?
I think so. I would probably sometimes in a moment of quiet, he's probably kicked himself to say, ugh, and that could have been me in the spotlight there. And here's a dilemma. What if Barack Obama's elected, 2016 rolls around, Marco Rubio wants to run, Jeb Bush wants to run.
And the vice president.
And Jeb Bush really helped create Marco Rubio's stature. You know, so that's going to be one of the issues. But here's what I'll point out. I like the fact that Jeb Bush is a very smart guy. I've said this time. You don't always have to agree with him, but he's a very smart guy. But he also spoke at the delegation breakfast and said, on recruiting Hispanics to the party, we can do that as long as, and I'm quoting him now, as long as we are not stupid. In other words, but I think in the platform they were stupid.
Well, we've been talking about former governors, so let me bring up Charlie Crist, who managed to also take some headlines.
You just ruined Lou's day.
No, you didn't. I like Charlie.
leading up to the RNC, Crist wrote an op-ed piece in the Tampa Bay Times endorsing President Obama. Now, Crist has already distanced himself from Republicans, having left the party during his bid for U.S. Senator. So only a matter of time, Lou Frey, before Charlie Crist comes out full-fledged as a Democrat, you think?
Charlie is going to continue to run for office. There's very few offices left that he hasn't run for. I think he's going to run for governor. I think that there's not a lot of Democrats really interested in it. He'll raise a lot of money with the law firm that he's with. He's a good campaigner. People have a short memory, and I wouldn't sell Charlie Crist short in the governor's race in a couple of years.
What do you think, Dick Batchelor? Could we see Charlie Crist perhaps as an appointee in an Obama second term?
Well, he's crossed the River Jordan at this point in time. He's there's no going back to independent at this point once you endorse the President of the United States, and he's going to be a speaker at the Democratic Convention. So, I mean, there's no turning back at this point in time. He can't even get back to the midstream. He can't even get back to being independent at this point in time. He's got to run. If he runs, he has to run as a Democrat at this point.
Do you think, Crist, good traction potentially against Rick Scott in a
well, the fact is, though, when you've held as many positions as he has in the cabinet and having been governor and then run for United States Senate, he's got the name recognition. The fact is, yeah, I mean, it's worth, and Lou said it before, it's worth millions of dollars just with the name recognition.
$3 to $5 million for the name recognition.
So the answer is, yeah, I think it could be. And I, frankly, Alex Sink wants to run. I think her time has come and gone. I'm not certainly not endorsing Charlie Crist, but we have a light bench on the and from that standpoint. Senator Nan Rich has wanted to run. I don't think she's a strong candidate. So, you know, power abhors a vacuum, and there's a vacuum. Power rushes in. Charlie Crist knows that better than anybody.
What about Dan Gelbert, though, who made an unsuccessful run for Attorney General?
I think Dan Gelbert was a very attractive candidate. In fact, I've contended that had he run for governor instead of Attorney General, I think he would have beat the governor. As a former assistant U.S. attorney and someone who'd worked for Senator Sam Nunn, I thought he had the credentials to go to the throttle on that race, but he would be a very strong candidate, in my opinion, having run statewide.
Somebody's got to raise money and step out, and that's where Charlie also has an advantage. He can show a pretty big bank account, and then once you've been in one of those races and lost because of lack of money, it's hard to get yourself all geared up again.
Absolutely.
Well, Dick Batchelor, what's the role for Florida Democrats looking ahead to the Democratic National Convention?
Well, the good news for the Democrats is that while there might be some bump coming out of the Republican convention, that bump has until Tuesday to get bumped. And then the Democrats start commanding the airwaves at that point in time. And so the fact is, if you go second, you can mitigate the first bump, and you can hopefully get your own bump come out of convention. I think the Democratic convention would be a lot different in that they will have people there repeating the good things about the president. But I think they're going to try to find people and do these, you know, this person was affected by this, this person was affected by that. It would be interesting. They do have a balance, and I'll be very candid with you. They have a very balanced. There are a lot of people who don't like Harry Reid. There are a lot of people who don't like Nancy Pelosi. On the Republican side, some independents, some Democrats. So that convention also has to be very well orchestrated, and I think it will be very well orchestrated. But we've got to come out of there with a bump, and we need a bump to sustain the bump. Because keep in mind,
Mitt Romney, in an economic policy, Dick, you're talking about the Republicans not having it. He's got to come up and say, this is what I'm going to do, and this time it's going to work. It didn't work last time. This time it's going to work because. And that's
one final thing on that, to keep in mind that now he's hoarded his money. Now,
this President
Romney
Obama.
Can spend $160 million he's got in the bank. And the super PACs, talk about the economy. The economy is so bad, I hear the Koch brothers have laid off 23 congressmen off their pay.
Dick Batchelor getting feisty.
Why? I never was important enough for anybody to do that.
You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 News. I'm Mark Simpson. We're talking politics. It's our monthly politics segment with Democrat Dick Batchelor, Republican Lou Fry. Follow us online, Facebook and Twitter. Let's talk about moving ahead closer to November based on the results of the August primary in some of our local and statewide elections. In terms of the primary elections, Lou Fry, in Florida, what surprised you the most?
Cliff Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
Cliff is an outstanding member of Congress. He's there 24 years. He worked hard. He did not work this campaign hard. His polls showed with a week to go he was up 14 or 15 points. They ran an ad up there that was a pretty funny ad.
Yeah, Yoho ran a very effective ad with the pig slopping
with the
around,
pig
yeah.
slopping and so yeah. forth. I talked to Cliff, and he thought he'd done enough, and it was in the bag, and he was left with money in the bank. I mean, it was just one of those things, and it was a shame because he was chairman of one of the subcommittees of the most powerful non-appropriating committee, the Commerce Committee.
And you'd think the Tea Party would be happy with him because he was investigating Solyndra. He was investigating Planned Parenthood. He had all the right issues for the Tea Party and the conservative wing of the Republican Party, and he spent $1 million. But I agree with Lou, that was the highly unpredictable. Yeah.
And remind us the winner in that race.
Yoho.
Yoho, who's a big animal veterinarian. I've learned the difference between a big animal veterinarian and a little animal veterinarian.
Or a veterinarian who's big.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, one result, Dick Batchelor, I thought was pretty interesting was in this new congressional District 9 where the favorite was Republican John Quinones, establishment Republican who was trounced by Todd Long. And there's been a lot of talk about Democrat former Congressman Alan Grayson portraying Long and Quinones different ways to make sure he would end up facing off against Long, setting it up for November. So he views Long as perhaps an easier candidate to beat. What do you make of these machinations?
Brilliant strategy. Brilliant
really
strategy.
Is.
First of all, it's a 60% Democratic district. 40% of the vote is Hispanic, but it's Puerto Rican. Traditionally vote
which Quinones is Puerto Rican.
Quinones is Republican. Puerto Rican. So what you do, there are two Puerto Ricans in the race. What you do is you spend money against the guy who you think is going to be the strongest. You get rid of the Hispanic in the primary. In the general, you're an Anglo, but you're facing an Anglo. It was brilliant. He spent over $100,000 in anti-Quinones ads, which everybody thought Todd Long was running. By the way, Todd Long raised $3,000 in the primary, so his name is Todd Longshop. He has no – this campaign's over.
Here's where in Washington, after all this, people go back up in the Republican National Committee, the Democrat looks there. They've got so many races. They got X amount they need to keep control of the House, and they're going to put money where it can be. Let me tell you, if there was a poll that showed somebody could come close to beating our favorite candidate
– Grayson, yeah.
Grayson, you could roll out all the stuff he's done and all the – excessive statements he's made, and you could beat him. But you need a candidate to beat him, and what's going to happen is if the Republicans don't think Long is that candidate, or after polling, they don't think that it'll make any difference, they'll just cut him off. And by the way, Skip Bifalas, who you may remember, a congressman, member of the Ways and Means Committee a few years ago, was asked to run by President Reagan, and he jumped in the race. He had a very safe district and everything. Jumped in the race, got behind. The White House didn't give him a penny.
Right.
Not one penny, and he lost. Yeah. He He lost the race for the nomination and or the governor's right. race, I think.
And the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee has only said that they're going to provide support staff to Todd Long. No money. The super PACs look at the race and said, we can't win it. Walk away. This race is over.
And you anticipate Alan Grayson has very deep pockets. That's what he used when he first ran and looks set to do that again.
He's got over $1 million in his pocket, but this race, it's not a David and Goliath race. This is like David without a slingshot.
What do you think, though, this district created with the intent of getting some Latino-Hispanic representation in this new District 9, now not going to be represented by
this
anyone
race
who's
is not over. This is this year. Yeah. This seat is going to be contested. Grayson's seat, they're going to start finding a candidate right after the election's over, somebody who could do and promise them a couple $1 million, and they're going to monitor Grayson because he'll give them a lot of stuff to use in commercials.
John Q will be back, and he'll be the single candidate, and he'll have $1 million in the race.
Let's also look at District 10, which is Val Demings, former Orlando police chief, and Dan Webster, who actually beat Alan Grayson and was, of course, a longtime Tallahassee politician. Webster now running for a second term against Val Demings. She's coming off a successful career in law enforcement. What's going to be the deciding factor in the race, Dick Batchelor?
Money. There's
you always say that.
Well,
he's right.
Because it's always right. It's cha-ching. Yeah. It is. The best money can buy. It's going to be a lot of money in that race. The good news, and I think the Orlando Sentinel in the story this past week summed it up too, but they both are very well liked, very strong back credentials. I mean, you know, Dan's remember the legislature, Speaker of the House, Senator, Senate Majority Leader, great credentials, now an incumbent congressman. Then you got Val Demings, you know, police chief. She literally came to Orlando with nothing but everything she owned in the trunk of her car, went to the police academy, came police chief, and dealt with the community. So you can't run against her on the crime issue. So she's a very strong candidate, and the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, is going to be investing a lot of money, and it's in one media market. So it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out race. But having said that, again, I get back to the super PACs will weigh in. They'll weigh in extremely heavy.
What do you
think? The RNC and the Republic, both committees are going to look at this stuff. And if, for instance, Val is behind somewhat, you're going to find the money pours in, and then it's a real problem on the other side trying to stop the bleeding. And a lot of people, your mother will love you, but if you're losing in the polls, no way. Goodbye.
What do you think, though, in terms of...
I mean, and he's talking about his mother.
What do you think about in terms of this district, though? It keeps flipping back and forth. It was in Republican hands, and it went to Alan Grayson, Democrat, and went back to Republican under Dan
Webster.
It's
a district you don't particularly want to run in if you're a congressperson. Yeah. You'd rather run in one if you win it. It's safe.
But I think what would be interesting in this is campaigns, too, is they tentatively had agreed to some debates, and I think that would be very, very interesting debate. It could be pivotal in the race.
You know, Val Demings certainly has a charisma factor that maybe Dan Webster, although very solid on policy, doesn't have.
Yep.
But she doesn't have name recognition. You know, she has is some good name recognition where she is, but she hasn't got the name recognition. She hasn't bought the name recognition yet, Dick, across the whole
But
part
the
of
good
the district.
News is she gets a twofer because her husband, as you well know, is running for sheriff.
Yeah, and they get all so confused, got, so she'll be right.
You got two Demings, so she gets a twofer on those kind of campaign ads.
Well,
with
she
her
may
husband.
Be elected the sheriff again. Then what do you do?
I've been speaking with 90.7's political commentators Dick Batchelor and Lou Fry. Dick Batchelor, former Democratic State House representative and president of the Dick Batchelor Management Group. Lou Fry is former Republican congressman and partner with Lowndes Drostick, Doster, Cantor & Reed. Gentlemen, great to speak with you both again.
Thank you.
We'll be back.
The conversation about what's happening in Florida continues online at the Florida Talks blog. Visit WMFE.org/intersection to find out more. There you can always sign up for our weekly podcast. Support for Intersection comes from our listeners. Amy Green is the assistant producer. I'm Mark Simpson. Thanks very much for listening.